If you aren't from Salem, you might not realize, but beginning of September, we shift responsibilities around some. Sometimes we don't shift them. People have the same job for maybe a number of years, but a lot of the jobs get shifted around. Sunday school teachers get changed up, and people take on new responsibilities. People in the ladies in the sewing pick up some new responsibilities and maybe have a job they haven't had before. So maybe some of you are dreading your new job that you've been given by the Brotherhood, and you're thinking, I can't do this. And maybe some of you are excited about it. That's good. Hey, something that you maybe would have liked to have tried doing. And maybe some of you have a job you've been doing a long time and you wonder why you're doing it again. Well, you're probably doing a good job if church keeps asking you to do it. And maybe you've actually gotten tired of it. You'd like to switch up something. But we all have some kind of responsibility. Now, you might say, well, the church hasn't given me an official responsibility. I think I heard Jerry sharing this morning that they need teachers. So you can volunteer for that if you don't have a responsibility. Well, even if you do, you can volunteer for that. There's work for all to do. And sometimes we just don't want to do it. Maybe we say, well, we're too busy with other things in life. And so the Brotherhood kind of takes a back shelf. And we don't want to get too involved because we've got other things going on. And we all do. We all seem to be busy, having things to do, responsibilities. Or maybe you're quite happy to be on the backside of the desert tending your sheep at 80 years old and you don't want any more work. Turn to Exodus chapter 3. Moses gave God a list of excuses as they went through their discourse on why he was not able to do what God was asking him to do. Can't do it. And God continued to tell him what he wanted him to do and go on through with explaining things. And I don't know if we'll read all of this, but I do want us to notice some of the things that happen in this discourse between God and Moses. And what I'd like for you to do as we're reading through this, if you have a new responsibility or if you refuse to take a responsibility that's been asked of you, see if any of the excuses that Moses used are any of the ones that you've used or you've thought about using. And just be honest with yourself. Are any of these excuses something that maybe I would have used in not wanting to do something in the Brotherhood here? Or maybe even out of the Brotherhood, maybe a mission asks you to do something, or maybe a mission board asks you to be on it, or whatever it might be. So in Exodus chapter 3, verse 4, it says, "And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I." He was at least willing to listen. Here I am. We go down into verse 11, and this is after God is telling him what he wants him to do. He's wanting him to go, and he says, "I'm going to deliver my people out of Egypt. I see that they're distressed. I see that they're in a bad place, and I am going to deliver them, and I want you to go." And in verse 11 it says, "And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children out of Egypt? God said, Certainly I will be with thee." And he goes on and explains how he's going to be. This is a token, and he gives him proof that he's going to be with him. And so maybe you have said something like that. Who am I? I can't do this. I'm not able. That's a job too big for me. I don't know if you realize it or not, but Pharaoh had a lot of power. I'm sure you know that. And going to him and explaining that we're going to take all of our people and leave was a big feat. I can understand why Moses had some concerns about being the one to go and face Pharaoh. But you know, Paul in Philippians says this, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned." Sometimes it takes learning. "I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." And it's interesting that in that context, he's talking about sometimes I'm hungry, sometimes I've got plenty, sometimes I'm asked to do something. Now, he doesn't say it quite this way, but sometimes I'm asked to do something I'm very uncomfortable with. Sometimes I'm asked to do things that I'm fine with. But in that, I want to be content, even if it's doing a job that maybe I wouldn't prefer to do. I want to be content. Why? Because I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Now, understand when he says I can do all things, he's not saying I can jump out of an airplane at 30,000 feet and just be fine, because God will give me strength. That's not what we're talking about. But if God asks us to do something, if the brotherhood's asking us to do something, if we have a new responsibility, whatever it is, that we can do in the brotherhood. And maybe you say, well, I've not been officially given anything to do. You can, there are all these things that can be done for help. There's Bible school, for instance. Maybe you say, well, I don't know if I can teach Bible school, but ask Ken or Tim or the committee. There's probably something you can do to help out. There's other things that happen. Work days at the school. There's the children's ministry in Goshen. There's just a lot of things that happen here. Mission outreaches and whatnot. And of course, there's always the fact that you can pray for those. But a lot of us have responsibilities that we've been given. And how are we going to do it? Well, we can do it through Christ, which strengthens. And that was the thing with Moses. God was going to give him the strength and the tools to do what he needed to do, even if he didn't feel comfortable doing it. Let's read on. Let's read verse 13 there. And it says, "And Moses said to God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them?" Well, he's saying he doesn't know God's name. He doesn't have all the answers. Maybe you've been asked to teach Sunday school, and you're like, I get into class and they ask a question. I don't have the answer. I don't know. What if they asked me to explain the Trinity in detail? Well, they're not going to. But the fact is, you know, just like this, God said, well, here, tell them this is who I am. Which they would have been looking for a name, in a sense. If you think about all the gods that were in Egypt and so forth. And God just says, tell them I am. Okay? But God will give the answers. God will help. He didn't have to decide. God said, well, this is who I am. But he said, I don't know. I don't know. And then we go down to chapter 4, verse 1. And this is after God gives him all these different things to do to prove that he's God. And I'm going to be with you. And you're going to be there. And you're going to have these mighty signs and wonders to use and so forth. It gets down to chapter 4, verse 1. And it says, "And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee." They're not going to listen. They're not going to like what I have to say. They're not going to listen to me. They're going to say, nah, you've got nothing to share. You're not doing a good job. No. We go on then, after God continues to explain things to him and show him more ways that he's going to be with him. We get down to verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, "My Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue." He's not a good speaker. Sunday evening committee asked one of you brethren to give a topic on a Sunday evening. "Oh, I can't do that. I can't speak. No way I can get out in front of the people and share a topic. I just can't do that." "Could you teach Sunday school?" "No, I'm not a good speaker. I can't do that." It's interesting what Stephen had to say about Moses in the book of Acts. It says, "And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds." He was trained in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. He was mighty in words and in deeds. Moses said, "I'm of a slow tongue. I can't talk. I'm going to get up there and I'm going to stammer around. I'm not going to know what to say. I can't do it." You think he was just stretching it a little there? Maybe that's actually how he thought of himself. I don't know. But if you look at his upbringing, and you probably look at most of the other Israelites, he was probably best fit for this job of any of them. He knew the Egyptian culture. He knew the people. I wondered sometimes if part of the problem was he remembered his failures as well. "I go back there, I killed somebody. I killed an Egyptian. I just as soon stay out here in the desert. They've asked me to do this in church. I don't know. I'm not perfect. I've failed in this and I failed in that. So I can't do it. I can't do it." And so as we go on here in verse 13, "And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him who thou wilt send." In other words, just pick somebody else. Why are you asking me to do this? He went through his excuses, and finally he's just like, "Hey, I'm just asking you, Lord, just get somebody else. Just ask someone else. I can't do this. I've given you my excuses. You haven't listened to them." And verse 14 says this, and we don't want to get to this point with God in our own unwillingness to serve him. "And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses." God had had enough. He had heard enough. He had given him the tools. He promised he would be with him. He showed him how powerful he could be. He refuted his arguments. And finally, God's anger was just, he was upset. God was angry with him because of his unwillingness to serve in the way that he had asked him to. And then he says, and he said, "Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart." And basically, you can use him to talk if you think you can't. But it's interesting then when you read on through Exodus and you see who's doing the talking most of the time, it's Moses. I'm sure it was helpful to have someone with him to help. And I think that's one of the things we can learn from this, that God, even though he was frustrated with him for not being willing to go and do what he asked him to do, he finally, even in God's frustration, he says, "Okay, you can take your brother to help. You don't have to do this alone. You can have someone else to help." And I think that's one of the blessings of brotherhood, is we're not doing it alone. And if you do have a responsibility that you've been given, or you take on a responsibility and you just get bogged down and you feel like you can't handle this, you don't know what you're doing, then you can reach out to someone and say, hey, I need help. I don't know what I'm doing with this. Or this is just stressing me to a point where things are just getting ugly and I need help. I need help. And we can do that. We can reach out. And I believe God understands that and he will help. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. I use this passage in the opening at Amanda Detweiler's funeral. I don't think a lot of you would have heard me read that for that, so we're going to take a look at it again this morning. Matthew 25, starting at verse 14. One of the things that I think sometimes gets in our way of feeling like we can do something in the brotherhood or in the kingdom, whatever it might be, is that we feel like, well, someone else could do it better. Someone else has gifted better in this area than I am. I know they can do it better. They're a better speaker. They're a better thinker. They're a better worker. They, whatever it might be, someone else is better. And you know what? God gives different people different talents and different gifts in different areas. And you know what? You might actually be asked to do a job in the brotherhood that 10 other people could do better than you can do. But you've been asked to do it. So you do it to the best of your ability. That's all God's looking for. And that's what the brotherhood's looking for. That you do it to the best of your ability. And I think this parable that Jesus gives here shows that. That he's not looking for you to do a job the way someone else would do it. He's looking for you to do it with the abilities and talents he's given you to do it. So in Matthew 25, starting at verse 14, it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, every man according to his several or his individual ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth them. And so he that had received the 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And the Lord, and his Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, gathering where thou hast not strewed. I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strewed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury or interest. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him that hath 10 talents. For every one that hath shall be given, and to him that hath him, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, I realize in this parable that the one who didn't do anything with what God had given him appears he was cast into hell. I'm not saying if you don't take a job that you've been asked to take in the church that's the end of you. That's what's going to happen. That's not what I'm saying. But it is interesting that what God is trying to show with this parable is that God is asking to receive from you according to what he has given you. And maybe you feel like, well, I just don't have much to offer, and so I'm just not going to do anything. And I think that's the servant that was given one talent and decided, well, I'm just going to just keep what I've got. I'm not going to try to do anything with it because it's not good, and God's not pleased with that. God wants you to do in his kingdom with what he has given you, not with what he has given someone else. Just what he has given you. Use that. And it's interesting that God, even in the church, when he talks about the gifts that he has given us, spiritual gifts, and how to be used and how he has placed us, he says in 1 Corinthians, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, to make us feel better." Is that how that verse ends? So that you can do what you want to do. Is that it? No. "But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. He has given you the talents that he has given you, as it pleased him." You might say, well, God didn't ask me to do this particular job. Well, if it comes through the brotherhood, then I think it's God saying, hey, we'd like you to do this. And again, it's not that you have to do everything. You know what you can handle. But sometimes we say no to things that I think God really wants us to try. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. A couple of verses here that I would like to just share with you to encourage you to do the responsibilities you have in the brotherhood. In verse 17 of Colossians 3, it says, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." Right, previous to that, it's saying, "Let the word of God, word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing grace in your hearts to the Lord." And so it's talking here about whatever you do, whatever you've been given to do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God. Whatever it is that you're doing, thank God that you can do it. And do it in a way that is pleasing to him, in his name, not in your name. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about fulfilling our responsibilities in the name of Jesus, not in our name. Let's do it as unto him, not as unto ourselves. And that changes, I think, our focus if we want to do things for him. Let's go over to verse 22 through 25, following his talking here to some domestic things in the home. And then he says, in this context of servants, he says in verse 22, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh." And now he's talking about a servant working for his master. And remember, he's talking to Christian that may be a servant, a slave to someone. And their masters may not be. And he's saying to obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, or sincerely fearing God, not fearing the master, but do it in a good way, fearing God. And I think that, again, that can be pulled over into the brotherhood. That we do our work with sincerity, not in fear of others, but in fear of God, that I do it in a way that would be pleasing to him and not necessarily to others. But it would be pleasing to others if we do it in a way that's pleasing to God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Do it heartily. Whatever you do, do it heartily. It's easy to do. I've been a Sunday school teacher. I preach. I have messages to come up with. And is my attitude like, well, I guess it's my turn to preach. I reckon I should have something, or they're just going to be sitting there. That can be a temptation sometimes. There's times when I've kind of felt a little that way, I'll be honest. Or do I do it heartily as unto the Lord? It's my Sunday to preach. It's coming up. I get to share the gospel. I get to talk about something from the Word of God. Hey, it's my Sunday to teach Sunday school. Or, go to teach Sunday school this week. And everybody else in the house knows to keep their distance because you're grouchy, because you're teaching Sunday school. Wow. It was mentioned about that Anabaptist thing that COP is working on for Sunday school lessons. And, you know, maybe we should go through that, because if it's stressing you out to teach Sunday school, what would it have done if you would have been scheduled to burn at the stake come Thursday? I'm just saying the comparison is a little drastic. And what they were going through 500 years ago compared to what we go through. Actually, if you read a lot of those stories and testimonies, a lot of those people went to their death singing and with joy, even in their pain and suffering, I think in a way that we don't have when we're asked to do a task that just doesn't quite click with us. Am I being a little too honest here? Do it heartily. And I fall into this too. I know the temptation. I do. He's talking to slaves here working for their masters. He says, "And whatsoever ye do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons." Over in chapter 4, verse 7, I think you've heard me talk about this verse. Kind of jumped out to me a few years ago. "And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it." Now you might say, well, I'm not a minister. Well, I think without taking away from the word, you can say, take heed to the responsibility that I have received in the Lord, that I fulfill it, that I do it to the best of my ability and my talents. Turn back to Galatians chapter 6. I'm going to read the first 10 verses here. And you might wonder why I'm reading this as an encouragement to those who have responsibilities, brotherhood, which really, I think, covers everyone. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Now, it's not exactly the context here, but I think we can bear each other's burdens by doing things in the brotherhood, or if we see somebody struggling with their responsibilities, let's help them out. Encourage each other. "For a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden," and that's a lighter load than it's talking about in the other one. In the Greek, it's a different type of load. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. And he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. I want you to focus on the last part of that verse. We can sow spiritual things. We can sow into brotherhood. We can sow of our talents and what we can do and what we've been asked to do. We can sow that and reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we therefore have opportunity, let us to do good to all men, especially unto them of the household of faith. And one of the ways that we can do good to those in the household of faith is by taking our responsibilities, helping things work out, helping things work in the brotherhood, and sharing where we can and whatever God has asked us to do. Even if we don't think it's a great thing or it's a small thing or whatever, we all work together in the kingdom. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for each one that is here this morning. Especially pray that you would just be with those that maybe are concerned about a responsibility that they're taking on here soon. And I pray that you would just help us to help each other in bearing each other's burdens. Help us, Lord, to be willing to do the things that you've asked us to do. And I just pray that you would give strength and comfort to each one as we fulfill those responsibilities. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.